Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and as always, it's a pleasure to be with you here as we look this week at the Mass readings for the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Now, this is special because what we see this week is that the regular Sunday in ordinary time, which I guess would be, the 24th Sunday in ordinary time, is preempted for this Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. We're going to talk about the cross. We're going to talk about how oftentimes suffering, how suffering can really be beneficial, and how Jesus accomplished our salvation, our redemption on the cross through an act of suffering. You know, that's not what the world tells us. The world tells us suffering is not good. On the other hand, using the example of Jesus, our church teaches us that even though suffering can bring with it pain, I mean, there's no denying that suffering has pain. That's why it's called suffering. It can be used for good. Jesus used it for good. And that's what, if we unite our suffering with his suffering, we can do the same thing. So that, I'm kind of excited we're going to talk about this. We're also going to look about into my book, Lord Save Me, and focus this week on the chapter, When You Feel Discouraged. Last week you did When You Feel Weak. When You Feel Discouraged. And honestly, one of the most discouraging things that we can encounter is suffering. You know, sometimes when we're suffering, when we don't see an end to our suffering, we can get discouraged and think, God's not listening. He can't bring good out of this. I'm never going to get through it. You know, you go on and on like that, and you begin to lose sight of the fact that he can do all things. So I think it's appropriate today, when we focus on the exaltation of the Holy Cross, that we also talk about discouragement. Because can you imagine somebody back, 2,000 years ago when Jesus was still walking the face of the earth, who sought out this supposed Messiah, but they weren't able to find him until Good Friday, and they get to their destination. They ask people, can you tell me where Jesus of Nazareth is? And somebody says, well, there he is, that guy on the cross. Can you imagine how discouraged you would be if you were the one seeking out the supposed Messiah and you see him being killed on a cross? It's very easy to see how somebody can become discouraged or hopeless when looking at the cross, thinking that Jesus, the Messiah, came to redeem mankind. He was the Savior. But it sure didn't look like that's what was happening if you saw what took place on Calvary. But that's indeed exactly what was happening. So that's why it's important for us to focus on the cross and the power of the cross and how much healing and good can come about through the cross and the suffering that you and I face on a regular basis. So without further ado, let's do what we always do to start this show. Let's turn to our Father in heaven. Let's kick it off with prayer. I just ask you to join me. Let's remember the fact that our Heavenly Father is with us. He is present with us. He hears our words. He can see us. He wants to help us. He wants to do what's best for us. And he really wants us to express our needs to him. So why don't we do that now? We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, first of all, thank you. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for adopting us, Father, as your children. Thank you for providing for all of our needs from the time we were first conceived right up until the present time. Father, the mere fact that we exist shows that you have provided for all of our needs. We thank you for that, Father. We praise you for all the many great things you have done throughout history. We praise you for the fact that you can be everywhere at one time, that you exist outside of time and space. Our human minds can't comprehend it, but we can recognize the fact through faith that it's true, that you really are that big, and we praise you for that. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given to us throughout our lives. We especially thank you for the blessing of Jesus Christ, who came into our world to redeem us and did so by dying on the cross. Father, if we did anything that offended you in any way, maybe something we did that was wrong, maybe something we didn't do that we should have done, We ask for your forgiveness. We also ask you to make us aware of those areas that need to be changed in our lives so that we could better follow your will. And Father, we ask you for our own needs right now. We pray for our own personal needs, for the needs of our family and friends. We pray for all around the world who are struggling with any number of problems. We pray for an end to war and terrorism. We pray for our church, our Holy Father, Pope Leo, all of our bishops, all of our priests, all members of religious communities, all members of our church. We pray for our separated brothers and sisters. We pray that we can have unity both within our Catholic Church and among Christian denominations. We pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood, the diaconate, the religious life. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We especially lift up the souls of our deceased family and friends and those souls who have no one to pray for them. We pray for the healing in body, mind, and spirit for those who are sick. We pray for all those who are looking for work, especially those who are unemployed. At the beginning of this school year, we pray for all teachers, for all students. We pray for all who are traveling. We pray that they can arrive at their destination safely and without difficulty. And Father, I pray that you can use me as your instrument today. Please give me the message you would like me to deliver. Give me the words. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to your message today. And we ask these things, Father, in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimak, and we do this every week for 30 minutes. So I'm so glad you're able to join me today. However you're listening, if you're listening over the air, if you're listening via the podcast, I'm just grateful that you made it a point to spend some time with me. As I always tell you, there's always a seat at my table. Make yourself at home. Let's settle in. Let's relax. And let's talk about the exaltation of the Holy Cross. Before we do that this week, I want to direct you to my website if you want to find out about more about my work. Maybe bring me in to speak at your parish, pick up a copy of my latest book, Lord Save Me, sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can do all of that by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com. All right, thank you so much. If you have any questions, you can always contact me through the website, or you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I want to take a look now at chapter 4 of my latest book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard, When You Are Discouraged. Now, I wrote a couple of sentences at the beginning of this chapter. I want to read this for you just to set things up, and then we'll look at a Bible verse, which helps us to better understand what discouragement can mean and how we can work with it, okay? Whether it pops up suddenly or appears gradually, discouragement is a powerful emotion that can easily plunge us into hopelessness. It can be caused by many external factors, but for Christians, it often boils down to a lack of faith in God's providential care. If we truly believe that God can do all things and loves us unconditionally, we should have no reason to be discouraged. Unfortunately, the fact that we have a fallen human nature and live in an imperfect world makes it difficult to avoid discouragement. The following meditations and prayers can help restore our hope and allow us to recognize the providential hand of the Lord in all events. Now, in the book, in this particular chapter, I look at several verses and do several reflections, all dealing with discouragement. But, you know, the point I was trying to make in the introduction is that if we really believe, now, yeah, I know we believe by faith that God is all-powerful and that he is our Heavenly Father who loves us. You know, most of us are not going to reject that. But when it comes to dealing with personal issues, these problems that are just not going away or that appear to be impossible or something we've been praying for forever, but it's just not changing, right? At least it to us, it doesn't seem to be changing. It's easy. You know, we're not perfect. We struggle. We struggle because of a fallen human nature. It's easy to become discouraged and think either, well, God doesn't care, or that prayer doesn't work, or that I'm doing something wrong, or nothing I do is ever going to change this, or, you know, going on. And we get discouraged. Discouraged can lead to hopelessness. It can lead to us abandoning God. It's not a good thing. So we really want to make sure we get on top of discouragement. So let me just look at this verse, this quick verse, Luke 21, verse 34. It's one of the verses in the book. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise. Now, Luke here in this verse is alluding to the fact that we're going to be judged one day. And we shouldn't lose sight, we can't lose sight, if we expect to live in heaven, we can't lose sight of the fact that this is going to happen, that what we do in this life does make a difference when it comes to our salvation. Now, of course, and we'll talk about this on today's show, Jesus redeemed us on the cross. He opened up the gates of heaven. He made it possible for you and me to make it to heaven. And without him doing that, it would not be possible for us to get to heaven. However, we have to cooperate with his grace if we expect to be able to live in heaven. So there's something on our part that needs to be done. And this verse reminds us that we should not get preoccupied with the things of this life. And it's very easy for that to happen. You know, you watch the news too much, and what's going to happen? You will get discouraged. You will forget that God is all-powerful. You will forget that it's not up to you to solve all your own problems, that you have a God who loves you and wants to help you. So the key is for us to remember, and I make the point in the book when I'm talking about this verse, all of our earthly problems are temporary. Some last longer than others, but they will all disappear when we die or sooner. Now, if we spend an excessive amount of time worrying about these passing struggles, we're going to waste valuable time that could be spent speaking to God and enjoying his presence. That's something to remember. That instead of becoming discouraged by the state of the world, by our problems, by things just never seeming to get better, continue to choose to believe that God can do all things, that he cares, and that your prayer makes a difference. That's why I always like to remind myself, and I do it a lot of times when I'm leading prayer, that our prayers make a difference. I need to say that because I forget that sometimes. Yes, I know it in theory, but I forget it. And I think that's an incredibly important thing for us to remember. When I pray, even though I don't feel it all the time, you know, a lot of times I pray, I don't feel God's presence, and I don't feel like my prayers are making a difference. It doesn't matter. I force myself by faith to pray. And I know it doesn't sound good to say I force myself, but prayer is an act, it begins with an act of the will. I choose to pray. I don't pray just because it feels good. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. And God knows that. And he doesn't just want us to pray because it feels good. He wants us to pray because we want to have a relationship with him. You know, essentially, we pray out of love. Love is a choice. Sometimes I don't want to love other people. Sometimes I just want to love myself and do nothing for other people. You know? But we pray because we believe in a relationship with God, and we also believe that prayer matters, both to us and to him, because he wants to hear from us as well. So don't allow yourself to get discouraged by the state of the world, by the state of your life, by how you feel. God's in control, and we need to believe that by faith, whether we feel it or not. Okay, so that was chapter four of my book, Lord Save Me. Again, for more information about the book or to purchase a copy, head on over to followingthetruth.com. All right, time for Gary to take a sip of his water. I'm a little fired up today, as you can tell. I get excited about things like this. I get excited when I do this show. I told you this before. If I'm feeling down, I do this show. And by the fact that I'm doing this show, I'm sharing God's word through the mass readings, and by the fact I know that you're there as well, I get excited. This all fires me up. So a lot of times I come away from the show feeling better than when I started. I'm not kidding. So, as I said at the beginning of the show, the typical readings for the Sunday in ordinary time this week are what's the word, are suppressed, if you want to, for lack of a better word, are overridden by the readings for the exaltation of the Holy Cross. Now, this is a feast, and so this is an important day in the church. This occurs on September the 14th. And as a result of this day being dedicated to the exaltation of the Holy Cross, the church deemed it important enough to use these specific readings for this feast. Because this is a feast of Jesus, right? This is a big feast. And to focus on the fact that we were redeemed on the cross. So with that in mind, these readings aren't too long. I knew I had a little extra time to play with today. They're important, but they're not overly lengthy. We begin with the gospel, as we always do on this show. John chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." You know, obviously, that verse, John 3:16, stood out because it's so popular. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. But the basic message, the theme for this particular gospel passage is that we were redeemed by Jesus on the cross. And Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, states that the Son of Man needs to be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. He is making it possible by that future event, is being lifted up on the cross. He's making it possible for us to enter into eternal life with him. And that's a big deal. And this gospel ends with, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Jesus came into our world to save us, to make it possible, to do something that would have been impossible if he had not done what he did. It was impossible once Adam and Eve committed the first sin, the original sin. It was impossible for us, you and me, to get into heaven because the gates of heaven were locked. And by Jesus suffering and dying on the cross, he undid that damage. He essentially unlocked the gates of heaven and made it possible for us to live in heaven. But, you know, as I said a few minutes ago, it's not a guarantee. I mean, if we follow Jesus to the best of our ability and take advantage of the sacraments and the grace given to us and cooperate with that grace, then, yeah, we will make it to heaven with no problem. But we have to make sure that we are remaining faithful to him and to his teaching, right? So we play a part. I say the first reading, Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. Let's see if we can find a link between this first reading and that gospel we just read. "With their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. 'Why have you brought us from Egypt to die in this desert where there's no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food.' In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live.' Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole. And whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived." So what we see in this first reading is a foreshadowing or what's called a biblical type of Jesus on the cross. This idea of mounting a serpent on the pole. Well, first we see the people sinned by complaining. So they were in a position where they were facing death. The serpents bit the people. Many of them died. You know, the people are in a hopeless situation. They need to be saved. So the Lord said to Moses, make a seraph, mount it on a pole, and if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live. So this imagery here points to Jesus on the cross. We look at that cross. We follow Jesus, his teachings. We partake of the grace that he gives us from the cross, and that grace comes through the sacraments. And as a result, you and I will live eternally. The people had to look at the serpent mounted on the pole. We're invited to look at Jesus, you know, not just to literally look at him, but to follow him. And now let's look at the responsorial psalm today. Do not forget the works of the Lord. This is Psalm 78. Hearken, my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter mysteries from of old. When he slew them, they sought him and inquired after God again, remembering that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths and lied to him with their tongues. Though their hearts were not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. But he, being merciful, now this is the key point of how this all ties together, but he, being merciful, forgave their sin and destroyed them not. Often he turned back his anger and let none of his wrath be roused. Do not forget the works of the Lord. And when it comes to the works of the Lord, the one we are focusing on today is so important. You absolutely do not want to forget it. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. He did it so that we could live with him forever in heaven. I tell you, this is a big deal. It's not something we want to overlook. It's powerful, and it's so important to focus on that fact and to respond, to recognize the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us. He made it possible, so we have a room reserved in heaven. But now it's up to us. You know, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to cooperate with the grace? Are we going to, number one, be grateful for the fact that Jesus did this for us? And number two, how are we going to respond to live in a way that honors the Lord and that ultimately will allow us to get to heaven? Let's look at the second reading now, Philippians chapter 2. I love this passage. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 11. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we look at the cross, and when we picture Jesus suffering on that cross, it certainly looks like defeat, doesn't it? And in the eyes of the world, that is viewed as a defeat. But it's the ultimate victory. By virtue of what Christ did on the cross, you and I have now been given the opportunity to get past what Adam and Eve did and make it to heaven. You know, and we don't want to, of course, we're going to put the blame on Adam and Eve. They messed it up for the rest of us. But you and I, none of us have managed to commit no sins. That makes no sense. We just said that none of us, all of us have managed to commit sins. You know, you'd think I was a writer, I'd be able to say that better. But you get what I'm saying. We've all messed up too. So it's not all Adam and Eve. Even if there had been no original sin, you and I would have committed sins and offenses. And we would have still needed a Savior. We needed a Savior. Jesus was that Savior, and he did it on the cross. So here's the thing, the important message as we bring this show to a close, for us to remember, suffering can be used by God for good. Let that motivate you today. And the ultimate act of suffering was committed by Jesus on the cross. Therefore, any of the suffering that you experience, you could choose to unite that suffering with the suffering of Jesus and share in his mission of redeeming the world. That is a big deal. And that's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to waste suffering, because as members of the mystical body of Christ, you know, you and I were baptized into the church. When we were baptized, we were also baptized into the mystical body of Christ, the mysterious body of Christ. So you and I, we are sort of grafted into Christ. You and I, we're Christ. We're in Christ, in his church. And therefore, we continue his work on earth. And his major duty when he came to earth was to suffer and die for us so that we could go to heaven. So therefore, you and I, continuing his work, we offer our suffering up. And then it has meaning. See, the worst kind of suffering is suffering that we waste or that has no meaning. No, the Lord gave us meaning to suffering. And therefore, now we are able to unite with Jesus and share in his suffering and allow it to be used for good. Okay, so thank you so much for listening to the program today. It was a real pleasure to be with you on the show. If you have any questions about anything we talked about, feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And I also want you to know that I'm praying for you. So if you're going through something now, know that you're in my prayers. And I thank you for your prayers. I know I get emails all the time that you're praying for me. Many people are praying for me, and I am very grateful. So thank you again for listening. I hope to be able to join you again next week on the show. I thank you for all of your support. Remember, by what Jesus did on the cross, you and I now have the ability to live in heaven, and that's a good thing. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.